this. And I also want to let you know, if you've grown up in a Pentecostal church like this one, and if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you're probably like I was. There's some emotional frustration. There's maybe some anguish somehow in your soul, thinking this isn't for me, or this isn't real, or I just don't understand this, and I don't get it, and why is my pastor so stinking absolute about this thing? And I would join my hearts with many of you, including our missionary this morning, and say it's because it utterly changes our lives. It utterly changes our lives when this happens to us. That Jesus had a design right from the get-go to glorify himself with the Holy Spirit and to fill us with his Holy Spirit. When I was about 10 years old, I was 10 years old when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And prior to that, I had been seeking for several years from the time that I was about 8. And I had, in just 2 years' time, being a Pentecostal PK, pastor's kid, I had all kinds of emotional hang-ups. And I had all kinds of things inside of me that were saying, oh, I'm a horrible person, or there's parts of my life that aren't surrendered to Christ, or I just have had all kinds of doubts and all kinds of, and really some fears too. And it wasn't until I reached a point where I just didn't care anymore about how I sounded when I praised God. I didn't care who heard me. I didn't care what I looked like. I reached the point, I said, okay, well, if the Lord, for some reason, if he causes me to fall down on the floor, I'm going to trust him that I'm not going to get hurt, number one. And I'm going to trust him that he's trying to do something in me. And it finally, for me, you've heard me refer to this, I already did, I finally understood that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. And that if he had a gift for me, that it was a good thing and it was a perfect thing. And it wasn't going to be a bad thing. And it wasn't something I needed to fear. All right, so I'm going to show you some things this morning, but I just want, let's just start right here. Let's just say, Lord, take away all the inhibitions. Take away all the fears. Take away all the mental stuff that gets in our way as we overanalyze things and as we question and doubt. In the name of Jesus, come in with your peace. Come in with your peace, God. Let your peace flow over us right now. Hallelujah. Some of you, for the first time this week, you're feeling peace right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So why do we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Well, John 14:26 answers one of the questions. Jesus says this, when the Father sends the Advocate, that's another word for the Holy Spirit, as my representative, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I've told you. Now, I don't know about you, but I would love for my memory to be better. So when Jesus says the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything I told you, that's a good thing for me. That's a really good thing. My wife could tell you that. All right. But the second thing is like unto it, a really good thing. It's to help us remember God's word. You know, if you're like me, you have a hard time remembering how to talk, remembering scripture references. I can quote you scriptures, and then you might say, well, where's that pastor? And I'll be like, I can't remember. But I'll find it. Let's go look at the Bible. We'll find it together. And I'm just bad at that reference stuff. And the Lord helps my memory. He does. And I need him to help me some more. And some of you are like, yeah, you forgot to call me this week. All right. But I need him to change me and to remind me of things. And since I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I can remember a lot more scripture than I ever remembered before. God is good that way. He does that for us. And he helps me learn his ways. Flip over. I'm going to have you flip in a little bit this morning. Ezekiel 36. There's another thing here. It's to help us live holy and obedient lives. Ezekiel 36, beginning in verse 25. And this is a prophecy for God's people through Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, 25. And the Lord is speaking, okay? We know that from verse 22. The Lord says, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." And, okay, so that's salvation, right? That's referring to salvation. Now look at the next part. It's referring to spirit baptism. "And I will put my spirit," that word is ruach in the Hebrew. That is the word for the Holy Spirit. That's why it's capitalized in your Bible. "I will put my spirit in you," Remember Jesus' words before? "Not with you, but in you." "In you, so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations." If you're struggling with obedience, there is nothing better than the baptism of the Holy Spirit to help you learn how to obey. I'm telling you, it's powerful. It's awesome. I obeyed my parents a lot better after I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. You better pray for your kids, right? I did. And it came easier. And it wasn't nearly as difficult for me. And then the fourth reason we need the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is to give us power to witness. Jesus said it. We already read it, Acts 1:8. "You will receive power to be my witnesses." And as we look at this, it's a twofold thing. It's first of all with boldness. I told you a story a number of months ago about a friend of mine that I went to Bible college with that was not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when he was, he suddenly went from this being a very, very introverted person to a bold person. He was still an introvert, but he was bold as a lion when he needed to be. God gave him power. And then also with signs and wonders. You know, when Jesus sent out the 70 disciples in Luke chapter 10, before they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they actually reported back to him that the demons were subject to them in his name. Well, what does that show us? That shows us that prior to the baptism, that God still wants us to walk among those people and have the power to cast out demons. We don't have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit to do that. Why? Because that's about the power of Jesus' name. That's about the authority of Jesus. That's not about the inherent power of the Spirit within you. But Jesus did not intend for us to do all the things that he's called us to do without the baptism of the Holy Spirit having taken place in our lives. Otherwise, why would he even say Acts chapter 1? Why would he even say, "You need to go and wait and you'll receive power to be my witnesses"? It was his design. Here's another thing. The baptism opens up the door or serves as the gateway for the other gifts to be in operation. You know, Jesus received the Holy Spirit at his water baptism in John chapter 1. And then he started doing miracles at the wedding in Cana in John chapter 2. You think there might be a pattern there for us? Receive the Spirit, then do the signs and wonders. Jesus specifically said in Acts 1:8 that we would receive power and then be his witnesses. He put them in that order on purpose. You'll receive power and then you will be my witnesses. That says something about his design. In Acts 19:6, when Paul prayed over the Ephesian believers to receive the baptism, the scripture said they spoke in tongues and prophesied. One followed the other. So here's the thing. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit this morning, you will speak in tongues. You will speak in tongues. Not that it's required in some sense. We just believe that it's the initial physical evidence of the baptism. That's all. It's not about the tongues. Can I hear an amen? It's about the filling. It's about the empowering. So I don't want to get hung up on tongues this morning, okay? Because the tongues is just a sign. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's just a sign to us, yes, this has happened in my life. That's all. Okay, so I was, when you've been around Pentecostal churches for a long time, you've seen a lot of stuff. I remember hearing someone say, someone in a position of spiritual authority, it was trying to lead people in receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They said, just copy the person next to you who's already received it. Just use their words, use their tongue language. I'm like, no. No, it doesn't work like that. This is individual for each of us. I told you the story a couple months ago, those of you that were here. When I was first started being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'll call it, I heard this weird word. It sounded like banana. It was banan, and I had a hard time. I was like, I'm not getting anything. All I'm getting is this weird word. It sounds like banana. I mean, what am I hungry? What's the deal? And my Sunday school teacher, she and her husband were praying for me, and they said, just speak it in faith, and God will grow it. God's given you one little thing. If you're not faithful with the one little thing, how's he going to give you a whole bunch of stuff to speak? I'm like, but it sounds weird. And they said, yeah, it does. And I said, but it sounds silly. And they said, yeah, it does. Does that mean it's not God? What are you waiting for, a lightning bolt? Okay. And I spoke it, and it started to flow. And it grew. And then I had my big altar experience where I can't even remember what happened to me. But I woke up, or I got up from that chair that I was kneeling at, speaking in tongues, with a smile plastered across my face for the next 3 weeks, like Joanne talked about. So secondly this morning, are there any prerequisites to receiving the baptism? And for those of you that have asked for a long time, I would encourage you to pay attention to these, just to make sure, and not to let them be sources of doubt, but if God speaks to you about this, then so be it. Here's the first thing. We need to repent of our sins and make Jesus the Lord of our lives. That seems to make sense, right? Well, in Acts chapter 2, why do I say this? This is right from Scripture. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, Peter had just finished preaching this sermon on the day of Pentecost after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spill out of the upper room. They're all speaking in tongues. People are like, what's this thing I'm hearing? What's this language I'm hearing? Aren't these people Galileans? How do they know my language? And that's another form of tongues we'll talk about some other time. But they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 37, Peter's words of his sermon, that is, pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This, you see that word there, will? You will. Again, it's God's design. You will receive. This promise is to you, your children, and to those far away. And for those of you doubting this morning, look at the word. Don't even listen to the words of your pastor. Look at the word. This promise is for you, your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Is that you? Is that you, church? Yes. So this promise is for you. It's for all of us. It's not something to be hung up on and something to say that makes me better or makes me more powerful. Jesus just said, hey, this is what I want to give you so that you can work the miracles that I called you to do, so that you can do the greater things that I'm laying out before you. It's for all of us. So repent of our sins, make Jesus Lord. That's the first thing. Secondly, believe that it's for us. Verse 39, we just read it. You need to believe that it's for you. And Lord, right now, if there are any here or listening online or anything like that this afternoon or tomorrow, and if they're doubting that it's for them, I speak to that doubt with the authority and power of the name of Jesus, and I say, be gone, be gone. And I speak to the enemy right now, and I say, get away from my friends in the name of Jesus. Let doubt leave this room in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then the third thing, ask for it. Look at Luke 11. Luke chapter 11. This is the passage that got a hold of me so strong when I was doubting. Luke 11, verse 11. Your fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? In other words, if they ask for food, do you give them something that's going to hurt them? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. And remember, this is Jesus speaking. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Wow. He wants to give you his Holy Spirit in its fullness, in his fullness. So how do we actually receive it? How do we actually receive it? I have found that if I get into an atmosphere of praise and worship, that it's conducive to receiving the baptism. Why? I think it's really simple. It's because I'm already praising. I'm already worshiping. And if I'm supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, and if my life is supposed to be a place where he comes to reside, okay, what's the scripture say? He inhabits the praises of his people. Okay? It's tying together, right? All right, so what happens is as we praise him, as we worship him, he says, I want to go live there. I want to come there in my fullness. That's a place I want to be. That's a place I want to fill. That's a place I want to reside. All right? So get into an atmosphere of praise. And we're going to do that in a few minutes. And then praise audibly. Oh, Pastor, you're asking a lot of me. Why do I have to praise audibly? Nobody's making you do anything. You don't have to praise audibly. I'm just telling you from my experience, okay, and this isn't necessarily in Scripture. I'm just telling you my experience. If I'm already opening my mouth, praising him, it's a lot easier for God to send something and shoot something out of his mouth. Tongues. Okay? But if I'm already moving this tongue instead of holding it still in fear or holding it still feeling like, okay, I don't feel like worshiping right now. I don't feel like praising right now. Okay? Well, what did David say? He said, bring a sacrifice of praise. Bring a sacrifice of praise. And as I praise him, we know stuff changes in us, right? Amen? Stuff happens inside of us. He's blessed by it as well. All right? But I've also noticed that the people that are going to be up here this morning and praying around this altar to receive and that are praising audibly, their chances are being filled are much higher than somebody who's not. I'm not making a formula out of this. I'm just telling you, here's my experience. Another thing, make the choice to receive. Say, I'm going to receive today. That's stepping out in faith. I'm going to receive today. And if you were filled with the Holy Spirit at one time and you spoke in tongues one time, all right, you're still filled with the Spirit. I believe that. But here's the thing. You need that thing to be flowing. And you want that thing to be flowing. That's a direct line between you and the Lord. And that's your personal prayer language. And there's power that flows in a greater way. I can't really explain it, but I'm just telling you, when I speak in tongues, when I pray in tongues, and this thing is flowing in my life, I feel something different. There's a greater sense of his presence. If nothing else, it's like opening up the bandwidth between DSL and broadband. Okay? And it's like Fast and Furious coming in. Not the movie. Okay, it's Fast and Furious coming in. The presence of God is coming in. It's like drinking from the fire hydrant, okay, instead of the garden hose. All right, and that's not ripping your mouth off, but that's a good thing. All right. Make the choice to receive. Speak the words that come to mind. You may have a silly word like banan come to mind. There may be some other word that comes to mind. You're like, I don't know where that came from. Or, and I want to warn you too, Okay? When you're seeking for this, Satan is very active in trying to create doubt in your mind. Okay? And we're praying for covering over you for that this morning. All right? But I'm just telling you from my own experience, well, that can't be God. That just sounds weird. Why not? Is it weird for a lady to up and move to the Philippines and to do ministry for 30 years, not knowing what's going to happen to her? People in the world would call her crazy, and some probably did. But it's God, right? God did it. So speak the words that come to mind. Don't fear or doubt. Let God free you from your inhibitions. Let me say this. Some of you right now might just need to say, Lord, please put down my pride this morning. Because you're too worried about how you're going to sound or how you're going to look. And can I just tell you that nobody in this room is going to think you're a whack. Is going to think you're off your rocker. And look what happened in the upper room. They came out, they spilled out in the street. It was so loud. They went out in the street. And the people were like, they're drunk. What happened? God used it. Peter said, they're not drunk. It's 9 in the morning. Can I just tell you there's something to be said for a 9 o'clock prayer meeting? Amen. Right? Sorry, I just couldn't resist. And for those of you that don't know, we have a prayer meeting here at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. And so what happened is that they were supposed as drunk, but Peter says, no, they're not drunk. This is God. This is what he told about in Joel chapter 2. And he went on to explain it. And then here's the last thing this morning. Guys, just enjoy the Lord. Just enjoy his presence. And worship team, for those of you that don't want to stay for the altar this morning, worship team, why don't you come back up? And I'm just, guys, just enjoy him. Just enjoy him. And I told the worship team, too, that for any of them that want to receive this morning, want to come down, that they are more than welcome to come down and be a part of this. And I want them to be. I don't want them to feel like they're tied to their guitar or their drums or their keyboard or anything else or their microphone. And here's what I want to do. Maybe I could have a couple guys help me move this out of the way this morning. Thanks. Here's what I'd like to do. We're going to worship a little bit. But before we do that, if you'd say, Pastor, if you'd say, Lord, I want everything you've got for me. I want everything you've got for me. And I'm just going to ask you all to stand right now. And if that's you, if you're saying, I want everything, whether it's being filled with the Holy Spirit or it's something else, but specifically, if you've never received the Holy Spirit, or maybe you received it, you spoke in tongues once or twice or even for a while, and it's no longer active in your life and you want that active again, I'm just going to ask you to get out of your seat and come on up here and stretch across the front, okay? Nobody is going to judge you badly for this. We're going to respect you for your boldness, amen? And it's sometimes coming forward and saying, yeah, that boldness, I'm going to grab a hold of this thing, and I want God, and I want everything he has for me. Come on, I know there's others of you. Let's not hold back. If you want to step out, if you want to receive, if you want more of God, okay, just say, God, I need you. That's it. Lord, I need you. I need you in your fullness. I need you in your power. I want you to work through me in mighty ways. I want you to change me from the inside out. And so I know some of us may want to pray with these this morning too, and here's what I'd like to do. I'd like you to not touch them yet at all. Okay, and I'll tell you at some point when to lay hands on them. All right, but right now I just don't want you to touch them. Okay, just let them seek the Lord. Let them praise. Let them worship. All right, and the rest of us, we're just going to praise. We're going to worship God. Okay? And it's been my experience, and I want to build your faith, those of you guys that are seeking this morning. If you will lock in right now and seek the Lord in faith, by the end of this first song, you may even already receive. My experience has been about 50% of the people right away, without even being touched, just saying, stepping out and saying, I want God. I want more. At their field. All right, so let me deal with the rest of you for a minute, because not everybody's up here that needs to be. The Lord wants you to have His Holy Spirit. The Lord wants to fill you. The Lord has good and perfect things for you. And the Lord said, and we read that passage in Luke 11, how much more will I give my Holy Spirit to those who ask? If you say, Pastor, you don't know, you have no idea. I ask every day, and it's been 50 years. Can I just tell you about a little old lady that I got to pray with, who had been seeking for 51 years? 51 years. And she was in her 70s. No offense to those of you in your 70s, because I said old. She was in her 70s. And she came to the altar after I preached on this. And I went down there, and I started to lay my hands on her. And she says, Pastor, I've been seeking for 51 years. And I said, do you want it? And she said, I want it. And I said, then it's your day. And within seconds, she was speaking in tongues. And it was happening, and it was powerful. And God was working in her. And she's like, wow. I had another guy in our church. He had been praying for 20 years to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he was a biker. I know some of you can identify with that. He was a biker. He had had an affair. Divorced. Was just getting relationships back right with his kids. And he came forward. He had tears streaming down his face. He said, I've been asking the Lord, and I'm so tired of waiting. And I said, Andy, come on, brother. And the Lord gloriously filled him that morning. It was awesome.